97.5 The Fanatic.
1:02 p.m. 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line. I'm Rob Motti. We are live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games here. Place your bets. Get some great food, great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. D, I walked over and got some lines on the XFL games. I want to run by some of these team names for you because there's some interesting names for
and,
sure.
And I can tell you this will be the first I'm hearing them.
The first
I've
time
no
that you're
time looking at
the
them.
Team names. But before I do that, I want to let you know this weekend hour is delivered by Papa John's. New Papa Dye is hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Andrew, hang on. We'll get to you in a second. 610-632-0975. We're talking a lot of 76ers today. Andrew says same old story. We'll hear from him. And it really is. You got a team right now that is a 5 seed that we thought would be an Eastern Conference Finals contender. You got two new guys coming in Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III. Can their infusion of talent do anything to help this team? Right now, D, both you and I don't think getting even through the first round. I don't have any degree of confidence in them getting through the first
round. Oh, I do.
You think they can beat Miami right now? Like, if you had to walk over there,
I'm not
it's a bet.
No. First of all, I'm not convinced it'll be Miami.
Okay.
That's partially why. But if they have to go and play Miami, no, then you're right. That's a bad first-round matchup for them.
What's a good first-round matchup? Indiana, if they're a 3-6?
I would do Indiana in a heartbeat.
But for them to be...
And I know that sounds
that to
terrible,
happen,
but I...
You, for that to happen...
I'd take my chances against the Celtics.
Then...
I would.
Boston's a 3.
And the only reason I say the Miami is because... Now,
they're
and
so
we'll
good
see,
at home, too. Miami.
That... And I want to see, I mean, I'm just telling you from a defensive standpoint, I think they get a jolt getting Iguodala. I know I saw Riley, he was very upset about not being able to
get Gallinari.
Yes. But he was so honest in, you have to make some tough calls. And the biggest thing they want is to make sure they have flexibility when Giannis possibly in 2 years. Is free.
So they're going for it now.
Yeah, and he
maintaining
said,
like they got a lot of money off their books in those deals.
Oh, absolutely.
And got better.
And their flexibility for this offseason is legit. And he literally talked about, I'm going for that. We will be championship contenders in these next 2 years.
In Jimmy Butler's years.
In Jimmy Butler's years.
He didn't, and I'm sure he couldn't have mentioned the Greek Freak's name.
He didn't. You're
the
correct.
The media,
He talked about making sure he kept the flexibility for free agency in 2 years.
South Beach, we know, is very enticing.
The only thing I will tell you, just in different interviews of Giannis, mm-hmm. he's not the same as some guys who grew up here,
It's a good point.
What he has really become, and I'm not saying he one way or the other, but he has become a part of the Milwaukee community.
Okay.
And, for his first couple of years, he lived in an apartment that he rented that was very modest in downtown.
Well, and everybody's value system changes, priorities change. Like, for example, I'll tell you this. I've been to South Beach 4 or 5 times. And when I went 15 years ago, and when I went 10 years ago, it was a lot different than I was just there now, where I worked 94 hours and didn't see the beach for the Super Bowl. I didn't even see it. Like, 2 blocks from it at the Miami Beach Convention Center, mm-hmm. I didn't see it.
Yep.
I didn't go to one part, nothing. We do change. And I don't know. It sounds to me like Giannis might fit into that more business as opposed to...
Now, that's not to say if it looks like a good business move because I can win if I don't have a championship.
Right.
But
the allure of South Beach for him
might
may not be
the
like
same
for
others.
Yeah. All right, hang on to those XFL names. I'll get to those, but let's get to Andrew in West Philly, on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, bud.
Listen, I love the Sixers. I am super excited about the possibility of them, doing something in the playoffs, but it's the same story the last 2 years. I think, we're going to win 53, 54 games, maybe. These guys, I feel like what I'm looking at in Joel Embiid is the same guy that I saw last year. We had 21 losses at the All-Star break last year. We'll have 21 or 22 probably this year at the All-Star break.
Exactly.
And so I don't know what's going on there. The only solace that I have right now with this entire season is the fact that the guys who are supposed to be our core five, our starting five, have only played 19 games together. That's the only solace I have in the performance of this team so far. And I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the way, but if we can get healthy, who knows? But that's a big if for this team, and we've seen it in the past.
Well, health for everybody is always a key factor. I agree with you there. And I feel like too many seasons now, you're talking about how often the starting lineup has been together. Last year,
it changed three times.
And it was a little crux going into the postseason for the organization, I thought. Because they wanted everybody to give them a break because they hadn't played enough games together. And you say to yourself, okay, come on. We're going to do this again this year. Now, Josh came back last night. I like the fact that they brought him off the bench.
Same.
The only thing I would say about Josh coming back, and this is where the injury thing, they used to never play anybody for the longest time. And you say, isn't that injury healed by now? And now it seems like they go the other way. Because did Joel come back too soon? And Josh, this is a hamstring, and it's the second time.
Same one.
And the first time it was a hip flexor.
Yeah.
Then his second injury was hamstring, and this is hamstring. And so
those are recurring.
And all I'm saying is you're two games away from then having 9 days off. I just feel like hamstrings, that is the more time, the better. So did we need his 15 minutes last night?
And my concern with that is when he's coming in off the bench like that, now with a hamstring, he's getting tight, and he's got to stay loose. He's got to stay. So, and Andrew, appreciate the call. Thank you. That's, yeah, you're right.
I think
about that, and you go, two games away from 9 days. Oh, why? Why rush him?
Yeah, would I mean,
you didn't need him against
with a
Memphis.
Hamstring.
You don't need him.
I didn't think so. Now, again, they're on a four-game losing streak. He's your starting two guard. You know, maybe you wanted to get him some minutes. I don't know. But you didn't put him in the starting lineup. So to me, that says you didn't think he was really quite ready. Were you testing it? I have no idea.
Well, you didn't need him last night. You're not going to need him, you wouldn't think, against the Bulls. And then you got the Clippers on Tuesday before you have the 9 days off. And then they're home against Brooklyn. So, yeah, that was interesting. And we will see. Hopefully that doesn't become a recurring thing because
He's a young guy.
Who refer to him as the leader, D, of this team. Do you think that's the case?
I don't. No, absolutely not.
Who is the leader on this team?
They don't have a leader on this team. That's part of the
issue.
Wasn't
Al Horford expected to be? Maybe because he's not fitting in the right way? Is it tough for him to lead because he's not a bigger contributor on the court?
So I do believe that Al was brought in to be a good locker room guy. Obviously, being able to have a higher caliber center when Embiid would go to the bench or have load management or, in this case, most recently have an injury. Because they learned by last year that the Amir Johnsons of the world, this wasn't going to get it done. So I applaud them for that part, and I think they thought he's such a good guy, and he is. The problem is it's not a good fit. It is a lot of money, and he can't use the voice in the way I said yesterday, I don't know where I was asked. Ideally for me, your point guard should be your leader. You know, it's usually your point guard. If you think about like the Damian Lillards, right? Chris Paul's, James Harden, you know, these guys, like LeBron is their leader, obviously, but
he's a different animal. He's LeBron.
And he's LeBron. But they are playmakers. You know, the guy who leads really has to be a playmaker, in my opinion. And I don't think you have to have any specific personality to be a leader. You can lead in different ways. You can be a quiet guy and still be a leader. But to me, that should be Ben. And Ben doesn't have the it of what I see in other leaders in terms of being the leader of the group. I'm not saying he doesn't have
times when he can lead on a play. Court, yeah.
Sometimes, but he doesn't have a voice.
Tobias, I thought, could be that.
Definitely is.
He's got the
probably,
character.
He has the character.
The personality.
He's a willing speaker.
Yeah.
He's a willing communicator on the floor. Actually, that was the other thing the other day in the Milwaukee game. The communication amongst the Bucks when they go down the floor, especially defensively talking to one another, is light years different than what I saw in the Sixers. I mean, even Kyle Korver is pointing to people like, you got him. Watch
Kyle
over
Korver,
the...
too.
I'm saying it's part of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be communicators with
each
other.
Well, who's that a reflection of, D? Is that a reflection of the players? Is that the coaching? Is that a combination? If you had to pinpoint one or the other, and so many of these questions that we have, when you're not good on the road, but you're good at home, and we started out talking about that, and I refer to it as a business trip, and you have to have the maturity and the focus to go on the road.
Sure.
Now, is that an element where the coach, at this point, can no longer get them to focus on the road, and they need a new voice, or is that who these guys are? Because they're still young.
I mean, for me, at the end of the year, one question I would like to be able to ask, whether I ask Josh Harris or Elton, you know, but can you go back to the trip in Miami? And I'm not saying you shouldn't be allowed to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But given the state of where your team was in that moment, I sure as heck am going to, if I'm Ben Simmons and I'm Joel Embiid, I cannot have a poor performance the next day. I have to know that.
You got to show up.
And not one person addressed what happened in Miami.
Did it bother you? Like, I know a lot of people got bent out of shape with the fact that it's the ownership group. It's Josh, it's Michael Rubin, who are partying with these guys. Did that bother you, and did that give you reason to believe what some of the criticism is, that if Coach Brown has an issue with these guys doing that, yet they're doing it with the owner, how can he speak up?
Well, you're asking men to be, you know, accountable to themselves, and I'm talking about Ben and Joel. I mean, there's not a person who doesn't know the optics of what it looks like.
Yeah.
But if you go in, and I'm not saying you had to win the game per se, and by the way, we all forget it was a very competitive first half.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Butler went off in his first quarter, but it was still a competitive first half, and you get the doors blown off of you to the tune of a 31-point defeat in that second half. But if you know the optics of what you're doing is going to be, people are going to see this, whether you're the ownership, the players, this is going to be big. And so you better know you got to compete the next day. And the other issue would be, I would be out front. Hey, we went to the game, but then we went back to the hotel. You know, I mean, we don't know. But I would have been out in front of it the next day saying, hey, I know everybody knows we went to the Super Bowl. I just went, do it at shoot around. Say something. But
there's no reason to think. I mean, nobody works 24 hours a day.
Right. I mean,
so you can go grown men. Yeah, you can go enjoy 3 or 4 hours at a football game, especially the Super Bowl. You can do that. You could fit it in, but like
and Tobias
you said,
was there too, by the way.
Yeah,
we say Ben and Joe more, but
you got to show up. But I just think when you see that, and you see that the fact that they're with the owners, if the coach has any issue with it, he can't say anything because it's above him. They're not out there palling around with Coach Brown.
Well,
they're out there with the ownership.
I will say, I remember when years ago I could see it coming when I used to go to the NBA All-Star Games, how it started to bleed the sports and entertainment.
Yeah.
The world's, both sides wanted to be part of the other world.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it a lot more now.
Well, we're in the Instagram society now.
And now, like ownership, it's cool to hang out with cool people that do stuff that you can't do.
Why? And you're paying
them
hundreds
of
million dollars.
Yeah, but they're the faces. They have skills. I'm hanging with Joel Embiid. You know, you think it's...
It's all about the pose, right? You got to pose and you got to post, right? If they were there and they didn't pose and post the picture, would you feel different? Would people feel different if people didn't know? Like, I was at the game and I knew that Ben and Joe, and I'm sure other guys were going to be there. I'm like, this is going to happen. Joel was at the Eagles Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they were on the road trip or whatever that was. But, yeah, there's a picture, there's a pose, there's a post, and we all know about it. And then you got Ben with Kendall at the pool.
Now,
I don't have an issue with being at a pool either. Like, again, you're not going to work 24 hours a day.
No, I had no problem. And he can't control that somebody took their picture either. You know?
This is true.
Now, I don't know where it was posted.
Now, if he took the...
If they had somebody take their picture and then they posted it on their own Instagram, that's a little...
Well, anytime you're hanging out with her, people are going to take pictures.
Right. So you can't control that. Now, the fact that he decided to stay overnight, to me, I'm changing my plans when I get blown out by 31 and I'm hopping on that plane and getting back with my team. That's just me.
610-632-0975 is the number to get in with D. Lineham and I. We're live here, Parks Casino Sportsbook. We'll be here till 3. D, let's get into a little bit of the criticism for Joel, because we mentioned it, we didn't really address it, and we talked about how the national media really piled on during the Thursday night loss at Milwaukee, and I thought Shaq had some valid criticisms. I thought he took it a little bit over the top. I took the way he came at it.
Like the baby voice?
I thought, and when I listened to it a lot, and I thought he was imitating, mocking Joel in Joel's accent.
Oh.
I
didn't take it like that, but I'll re-listen to it.
He tries to imitate.
I thought he was
imitating Joe's accent a little bit, which to me is mocking. Did anybody else pick up on that?
To me, it was him.
Baby voice.
Baby voice, like, you know, or soft voice.
Yeah, I mean, he was calling him soft.
Right, so
I never
factored in the.
Either way, he's mocking him. But if he was mocking the accent, that's to another degree. However, there's validity to what he said, and you mentioned it earlier as far as Joel. Now, you got this issue with a guy who consistently is out of shape. And then when you're out of shape and shooting 10 three-pointers, you don't have the legs to shoot those three-pointers. What was he, 3-for-10?
3-for-10.
3-for-10. 30% is not horrific. I don't need him shooting 10 three-pointers. But when he's doing that and he's consistently out of shape, at this stage now,
see, he doesn't say he's out of shape. We say he's out of shape.
Do you think he's out of shape? When you look at him, doesn't he look like he's out of shape?
He looks like he does not run the floor. And
is that knee issues, back issues, or just out of, or, like, it's a problem one way or another, depending
or,
on
or where not
you,
wanting to run the floor and not wanting to get in the post and not wanting to bang. I mean, it's, you know, it can be all that. And what I will say, when he says, you know, I'm sacrificing, he makes it sound like it's not his choice to be on that three-point line. I would disagree with him, but he says he's making a sacrifice. That was his phrase the other day. And we can all go back to who needs to be.
Because Ben can't do it. Is that what he's trying to say?
And Ben needs to be in the paint.
Well, would you agree that Ben is a better post-up player than Joel?
But they don't post Ben really, not enough, if that's the case. Yeah, he is definitely a better
post-up player.
Well, he has better footwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Joel's a better outside shooter.
Joel can.
Clearly.
Joel could dominate in the post.
I think
his frustration is right now is that when the double teams come, which, by the way, they do come a lot because one of two things. You don't make decisions quick enough. You aren't the greatest passing out of it. They're trying to say he is improving in that. And then he would say, we don't make enough shots to make them be less double-teaming me in the post. There's some validity to that. You know, on a given night they have. Yeah. Christmas Day they did because they made a season-high 21 of them.
Well, you can't count on Firk to give you 34 or even 24.
No, and by
24.
The way, when you said difference between home and road, Furkan at home is shooting 46% from three. Furkan on the road is 35-plus from three. That is a monster difference.
Wow. And basket looks different on the road than it does at home. And you got a team that's 9-19 on the road, 23-2 at home. Best home record in the NBA. One of only two teams in the NBA, the other being the Heat, who have an overall winning record, but a losing record on the road. And at this point, unless they climb in the standings, they're going to have to win on the road. Even if you defend home court, you got to win at least one on the road to win a first-round series to even go as far as you did last year. And I don't have any degree of confidence that they can do that. You're looking at different matchups where, yeah, potentially they can, depending on who they match up with. So for you got Pacers 1, Celtics 2 as your top two preferred matchups in the first round.
Right.
Pacers. Well, I mean,
I would say of the ones.
Nets and Magic,
look,
but they're not
the
getting one or two.
Right, exactly. Like, you're not going to play Milwaukee or Toronto, I don't believe, in the first round.
No.
And those are the two you shouldn't want to play.
They're not going to drop down to 7 seed.
No.
They're 7.5
and they have
games
ahead of that. And they have a favorable schedule coming back. And they have people getting healthy is the way I look at it. And you're bringing in two guys that you think is an upgrade. So to me, you're not dropping to 7 or 8. The top two, you don't want to play them in the first round. And Miami would be my third of least favorable in my book.
Of those three. Yeah. And then once you get through that, if you can get through
that. But at that point, you have to earn it anyhow.
No doubt.
By the way, I owe Ben his last 10, he's averaging 8.7 free throw attempts per game.
Last 10 games?
And Embiid's been back for 6.
Okay.
So, and he's shooting 71% he's made 71% of those 87. And the only problem is there were those 4 losses in the 10. I mean, there were more than 4, but a lot of it came in those losses.
The first thing I do every day when I look at the box score after a game or the night of the game is I always look at his shots and I look at his free throws. That's the that's where my eyes go to first. Ben's shots, Ben's free throws, Ben's line, then everybody else.
I'm sure you skipped the 3-point shooting part of
the statue. At this point, it's been ever since you had the conversation with Brett after the game and he told you he wants him to shoot 1-3.
You know, I made a bet after that
what did he tell you?
I already conceded it.
He said 8 free throws, right? Or did he want him to go to the line?
Well, the free throw part, I should have made that bet because it's not going to be it for the end of the year.
Yeah.
But the fact, I should have taken it from that point on because his free throw part is actually getting there.
Okay.
But I did the one where he would average 1-3 attempt from that point on per game.
Oh, that's not happening. I don't think he's taken one since.
No.
I don't think he has an attempt.
5 for the year.
He hasn't attempted 1-6 since. 610-632-0975. Marty, Michael, hang on. We'll get to you next. She's D. Lynam. I'm Rob Motti, live from Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.129 97.5 The Fanatic. D. Lynam, and I'm Rob Motti, live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games, place your bets, great food, great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be here till 3 p.m. today. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in on the 76ers conversation. I thought at some point I may get into the Phillies are going to report this week, pitchers and catchers, my favorite time of the year. And
rolled out yesterday.
Yeah, I love seeing that.
I love how people want to know, like, what's on there? Yeah. Is there anything unusual? There were 6 guitars on there yesterday.
How many sunflower seeds and all? 6 guitars? I missed that one.
Yeah.
Guitars.
Guitars.
Hmm.
And jokingly, somebody said, is there a band?
Yeah.
And the joke response was, oh, yeah, we have a band.
Jake Arrieta might have a...
But, I kind of get that. My brother worked as an assistant for an NBA team for a number of years. And the guitar on the road was like his one thing in his room when they had, you know, downtime. Yeah. He would play his guitar.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. May they got more guitars than they do legitimate starting pitchers. That's for sure. So here we are at Parks Casino Sportsbook. I'm looking at I teased it a little bit earlier. We got to give you these names of these XFL teams because they're getting ready for kickoff, D. The first XFL game, their new XFL,
yes,
is going to be at 2 p.m. That's the kickoff time. So you got a 2 p.m. game today, you got a 5 p.m. today, and you got a 2 and a 5 tomorrow. You got the Seattle Dragons at the D.C. Defenders. That's the first game. Then the L.A. Wildcats and the Houston Roughnecks.
Hmm. Houston what?
Roughnecks.
Hmm.
Sounds like a Texas thing, right?
Okay.
Then you got Tampa Bay. Maybe when I'm in Tampa, maybe I'll go catch an XFL game. Tampa Bay Vipers will be playing against the New York Guardians. Guardians is a strange name for a football team.
New York?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Then you got the St. Louis Battlehawks. And the Dallas Renegades.
See, now I'm always interested because I think that when it's in not one of the big four, right, they do something with their nicknames to make them kind of stand out. For instance, the G League has some strange ones.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is cool. I think it's cool. The Wildcats here is too tame for me.
Yep.
L.A. Wildcats.
The like two Renegades. That stood out, the Defenders and the Guardians.
The Defenders and the Guardians?
Yeah, it's like...
Josh and I like the Battlehawks. Battlehawks is a nice name.
Yeah.
It's St. Louis. You got Dallas, the Renegades. Do Philly fans hate any Dallas affiliation if it's football, right? You can't like the
They
Dallas
do like Renegades.
Yeah, Renegades isn't bad.
No.
I forget.
But you know what I mean? They don't take the traditional,
right.
You know, the Hawks, the...
Yeah. Cardinals.
Cardinals. Right, birds. All the birds.
Yeah, let those go. But you can bet those right here at Parks Casino Sport, or you can download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. They've never played. I don't know how they put out these lines. You got a 7.5, a 5.5, a 2.5, and a 7.5 point spread. That's interesting.
And what is the main media outlet for the league? Do you know?
I didn't pay attention. And I talked to the commissioner, and I know is it on Fox?
ABC, I think
it's
he
on,
said.
It's on ABC?
Yep. But, I mean, I think that's a difference from things in the past. For instance, the Big Three basketball, I didn't think it had a chance. Ice Cube League. I didn't think when it came out, like, can it sustain itself? But having a TV contract is a big deal.
Oh, no doubt.
And you're... You know, with football, obviously somebody's going to jump on that, and now you just hope the product is something that people gravitate to.
The one thing he did make
And betting
clear,
certainly has grown, and that's going to help this.
That's going to help. Now, I don't know anything about these teams and these lines, but he did make it clear to me that they want to score a lot of points. And
sure.
I don't see an over-under on this sheet, but I'm sure you can get over-unders.
Every league wants offense.
Yeah, I would think there's some rules that are structured to help create more offense, and I would think the overs would be safe right now, but I don't know anything about the teams or the lines.
Now, do you think they would use this, making lines and knowing it wants to be an offensive league, and kind of go and look at arena football and how much
teams... Oh, there's so many points scored in those games.
Now, exactly.
Arena folded, didn't they?
But I'm saying when it...
Yeah.
But, like, would you say that's the kind of style these teams are going to play?
Yeah, I don't think they'll score that many points, though. Arena was – that was astronomical. Now, Josh says two Fox games, one ABC game, and one ESPN game this week.
Oh,
so
okay.
All these games –
Everybody's in.
Yeah, they're all televised. They're all in. Should be interesting. If you want to bet them, you certainly can with the Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, and more power to you. 610-632-0975. So you got Glenn Robinson III, Alec Burks coming in from Golden State. I thought you made an excellent point in that you got two guys who, on a poor team, on a terrible team because of the injuries and what they have going on, were allowed to be. In Burks' case, he's averaging 29 minutes per game there. In Robinson, 31.6 minutes. He has more. His field goal attempts this year, more than double the average of any season in his
right.
career. 10.6
shots. Both of them were integral parts of the Warriors this season, and obviously we all know what's missing from the Warriors this year. But it allows you to grow your game. I did find there's a little bit of irony here. So Trey Burke existed in Utah when Alec Burks came in. Trey was already part of the organization, and Alec Burks did really well and kind of started taking Trey Burke's
pushed
him out. And now here he is again. Trey went pushed out by the
Burks.
Same guy.
Now, you talked about the idea that Al Horford might go to the bench, come off the bench.
I don't think it'll happen. But
you don't think it'll happen at all?
But Brett said all things are on the table.
So,
which is the right thing he should say when his team is in the predicament that they are in.
So maybe you evaluate it after you play the Bulls. You see what happens. You should win that game, whether he comes off the bench or doesn't come off the bench. Then you got the Clippers, which is clearly a very difficult, tough test. That's Tuesday night. And then you got the nine days off. So if they were going to I guess it gives you two games. Hopefully they play tomorrow, Burks and Robinson. Then you get two games to really evaluate those guys. Now, over those 9 days with the All-Star break,
you can't, you're not allowed to make people go in the gym.
There's
you
no can't practice be, at all.
Right. Well, there's a day that you're allowed to pick it up again.
There is. So
it's like
two days
before whatever that game is that on
against
the 20th.
Brooklyn. So you're really not going to get much. You're going to see them on the court in game scenarios. Then you're really not going to see them for
now.
A while.
I can tell you this: if they so choose to hang around Philly and they want to go in,
that's on them.
That's on them. I mean, you're never going to close the door to somebody, but you can't make them do if they already had something planned for All-Star break, which most of these guys do.
Well,
you know, it's
a
break.
In their case, they're moving. They're coming from California.
Honestly. This is just my experience. Most of those guys stay in the hotel for, you only have 29 games left, X number are on the road, and at the end of the year, you're expendable anyhow, so you're not locking down much, and usually you just ask what's the best temporary housing or, you know, what's my best choices, usually is what it is.
So you got Burks averaging 16 a game, shooting 37.5% from three.
I'm going to tell you that, in my opinion, the best three-point shooter on this team is still going to be Furkan Korkmaz with these additions.
Even the disparity of him home and away.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I can't change what the disparity is.
Yeah.
But I do know, I like who he's been. In that time that Embiid was hurt through till now, I like him a lot. I see a difference in his... By the way, remember when he was calling Ben the Ben?
Yes.
The Ben. Last night he had a great phrase. He's like talking about their struggles and we had to come focus. I'm paraphrasing until he said, and then I let it rain.
I made it rain.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Like we should have little... Furk phrases is what I call them. They're the best. I let it rain.
Furkan Korkmaz. You're not going to get 34 out of him.
No.
Again, or 24. But if he can continue to
40%, if he can be the 40%, I'm just saying I'll trust. Now, I haven't seen Alec up close and personal this year.
Right.
But I think he can be good in more ways than just the outside shooting, in my opinion.
Well, Little Dog's at 40%. Did they call him Little Dog because his dad was Big Dog, right? No, he's not Little Dog.
No, so
the third
started if you
right.
Were.
I'm going to call him Little Dog. He's 40% this year.
He is,
he's taking fewer, 3.5 per game, but he's at 40%, which for him is a career high. He was at 41 two years ago, but he didn't really shoot that many. So,
but he's also more of a spot up shooter. Which is actually, on this team, you might get them shots like that.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem is guys not being able to pull up off the dribble and knock down a three. And hopefully you'll get a little of that out of Alec Burks. But, again, one of the things with Burks is that he's a combo guard, which I do believe they need. And I think you see it the most in the absence of Josh Richardson.
Well, I'm excited to see these guys, and I always tend to lean towards the positive anyway, and I know when you look at this team and the flaws that they have and the difficulty they have on the road and some of the legitimate, valid concerns about focus and players playing soft and not being tough enough, aggressive enough, or assertive enough, I get all that, and I see all that, and I've questioned for a long time whether they can win the way they're currently constructed. And I think right around New Year's, I said, I don't think they're going to ever win with Joe, Ben, and Brett together. And at some point, and probably sooner rather than later, that's going to be broken up and more likely that it's going to be Brett. But I'm excited to see what can happen. You mentioned how 2 years ago, Bellinelli and Ilyasova come in here and the team went on a run, finished strong. Last year, you got Mike Scott, you got James Ennis, you got Tobias Harris. Previously, you got Jimmy Butler. That was in November, though. And they finished well down the stretch. There was a little some difficulty, but they also had
Well, part of it was because Embiid missed 14 games. But I was talking about the individual contributions.
Right.
It was what created the Mike Scott phenomenon.
Oh.
And
what do they call it? The Mike Scott Hive, right?
The Hive, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see it. I want to hear from you out there. Are you excited at least that you got something to look forward to before you're ready to really write the obituary on this season? 610-632-0975. Scott, hang on. We'll get to you next. She's the Lineham. I'm Rob Motti, live from Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
And welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm and Rob Motti, live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games here, place your bets, get some great food and great drinks, and make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I gave you the XFL lines for today and tomorrow, and also stop by our broadcast here at Parks today and check out our Dietz & Watson mobile broadcast booth. You can find out where the Dietz & Watson mobile broadcast center will broadcast from next at 975thefanatic.com. Serve your guests the best with a deli tray from a real Philly deli who use Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses. For a location near you, visit realphillydeli.com. Brother Scott's on the line. Let's get to Scott in Barrington here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Scott.
Chester P, what's happening?
How are you?
Good, good. Didn't want to leave you out, Brother Rob, but you know how we are. Ladies first. Brother Rob,
absolutely.
What's going on with you, bro?
I'm all good, man. All good.
Good, good. I left you something on Facebook. I saw y'all's picture, so left a little comment. You know how I am. But enjoy listening to you guys while I'm here. On break at the Flyers facility.
Nice.
A couple quick things. I'm going to get to my Phillies point, if I may. But how do you two guys feel about having Sproles and Celek, and who else was it?
Connor Barwin.
Yeah. So what do you think their roles would be? How do you feel about those moves right there?
Personal consultants and
organization.
So you got Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles is their personal consultants,
yep.
And one's a special advisor to the general manager. And yeah, I think it's fine. You know, you have great relationships with players. You want to continue to leave them in your organization. You want to maybe have them be, especially when they're right out of the locker room, like in Darren Sproles' case, maybe have someone be an ear for the some of the younger guys, and then be a liaison kind of with the front office. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. I think it can only help. It certainly
it's no
can't
different
hurt.
Than what Elton Brand, when he stopped playing, went to the G League, and then. You know, people who want to work in the business after they're done playing, I think it's worthy that they actually go in a lower level, to want to learn the business on many, many aspects.
Yeah, I hope some of those, all three guys, let me throw that, all three guys will be in the draft room with Howie. So, definitely with
well,
that.
Well, you know what, though? We don't know what their evaluation skills are like. But, yeah, the Eagles certainly, and of course they made some moves that we didn't get into today. And I know some people had some issues with lack of an offensive coordinator. I don't have a problem with that, D. I think you bring in a senior
guys,
offensive assistant.
The title is.
It's just a
title. You're getting caught up in the wrong thing. If you don't
Absolutely.
Like the coaching staff, meaning if you have a problem with who's on the staff
that's
offensively,
different.
That's a different thing.
Absolutely.
What else you got, Scott?
Thanks for that answer. Last but not least, once again, love you guys. Enjoy listening to you. Sister D, real quick, how's your dad doing?
My dad is fine.
My man,
Pots and Ted. What day it was. He's good. I know he saw him on TV last night.
Okay, good. Last thing with the Phillies, if I may wrap it up. How do you think McCutcheon to come back off this knee injury? And give me a little thing on how you feel about Zach Wheeler bringing him into the fold. Once again, let you guys peace. God bless to you. I'm out.
You got it, Scott. Appreciate it. I think Andrew McCutcheon will come back fine. It's a torn ACL. He's coming back now. He sustained it last June. It's not like it happened in October.
Yeah, it's like a year almost.
He's had some time. It wasn't like last year he was a 30 stolen base guy either. He actually had more pop than I thought he would. We know his importance at the top of the lineup and
will
what he
did. Will he still be leadoff when he comes back? I mean, we have a new manager.
He's got some options right now. I think he's probably going to start out as the leadoff hitter. What's going to be interesting is the 2-3-4-5 construction, because you could put Didi Gregorius anywhere. anywhere from 2 to 6. You have some lineup flexibility. I mean, you can have a guy like Scott Kingery, who hit 19 homers last year, batting somewhere around 7. Gene Segura, who's a guy who before he came here last year had hit over 300 3 years in a row. You can have him batting 8th, and you got depth in this lineup. So that's exciting. No, they didn't get a big bopper, and they still could go out and get Chris Bryant. But, and the other guy that Scott mentioned was Zach Wheeler. I think Zach Wheeler gives you a solid 1-2 punch with Aaron Nola. I think he's got some upside, which I'm excited about. But I think overall, as I joked about earlier in the show, that they had more guitars than they do have on the trip than legitimate starting pitchers. I don't have faith in this starting rotation. But I will say this. I'm excited to see what Brian Price, the new pitching coach, who was the former Reds manager, who's got a history, a pedigree as a pitching coach, can do with these guys. Because it is make or break time for guys like Nick Pivetta,
sure.
Guys like Vince Velasquez. Zach Eflin, for me, he's fine as a 4 or 5 in a starting rotation.
It's so, when you ask more.
Yeah, is Spencer Howard going to come in and step in at some point in May, June, maybe be a piece in this rotation? Jake Arrieta is not going anywhere because he's making $20 million this year. I look at Jake Arrieta and he's still 34 years old. Like, he's been on the decline for 3 years now, yet he's still 34 years old. There are guys who are Justin Verlander, for example, is older and pitching much more efficiently and productively than a guy like Jake Arrieta. Will he could be healthy and be productive? I don't know.
What a pitching coach, can you still get to a guy when he's 34 if you could help him?
I certainly hope he'd be willing to and open to it. Yeah. He's very strong-minded. And here's the thing. When they brought in Jake Arrieta, they were hoping he'd be an influence like Roy Halladay was. I haven't seen that from Jake Arrieta. I've witnessed a negative influence in some areas that I did not like, as far as him calling out teammates,
sure,
and really throwing the manager and the coaching staff under the bus. That's not what they expected for the $75 million, because he certainly hasn't given it to them on the mound. 610-632-0975. I can get into baseball all day long. I'll do some of that tomorrow. But D's here. We're talking Sixers. There's a lot to get into with this Sixers team, D, for sure. Ryan and Max want to talk about it. We'll get to them when we come back. She's D Lineham. I'm Rob Motti. Live from Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.